Hello, welcome to Say That, the podcast where your big questions get real answers. My name is Matt King. I'm your host here in Chicago, Illinois. Joining me is the president of Mission USA, Glenn Fitzgerald.
You betcha.
Joining us is the head of Mission USA Productions, Jed Brewer.
Greetings.
And from the state of Tennessee, one of the pastors at Christ Community Church, Lee Younger.
Hey, fellas.
So the way the podcast works is we have questions from you guys we get via email and via our website on Tumblr. If you stay tuned all the way to the end, we'll give you some ways to give us questions. We take those, kick them around the room. We've got quite a little bit of walking with Jesus and ministry experience represented here, and we'll break these down for you. So our first question comes in from the Tumblr from our friend Piano ETC, who asks, I have a question pertaining to Christian dating. Should Christians date looking for the possibility of getting married or just date for fun? I mean, I don't think I should date someone I don't see myself ever possibly marrying them. So, Jed, can you go ahead and kick us off with this idea?
Totally. Well, look, man, I think one of the things that gets Christians into trouble when they start to think about dating is they want to do dating God's way, which I think is awesome. I think that's right on. I think it's exactly as it should be. The problem is that the Bible doesn't say anything about dating. Because dating did not exist in first century Palestine.
It was more of a marriage for goat exchange at that point.
Yeah, could you explore the whole goat element of premarital?
Well, actually, the goat exchange is a Christian equivalent to the Hunger Games that I'm currently working on. teen fiction
topical,
kind kids, of thing.
Topical. Jed Brewer has his finger on the zeitgeist of youth culture.
You're going to appeal to the tweens,
Jed. I kill among 10 to 12 year olds, but I don't mean that in the Hunger Games sense. I mean that more in the marketing sense. All right. So look, here's the problem. I mean, it's like asking, what does the Bible say about going to R-rated movies? Well, it doesn't say anything about going to R-rated movies. Movies didn't exist then. So what we really need in terms of what the Lord thinks, what we want to start with anyway, is some general wisdom, some big picture stuff. And part of that, I think, is giving ourselves kind of what my wife would refer to as some left and right limits on, you know, we know we've gone too far when we hit, you know, either this side of the fence or this side of the fence. So what would those be? Well, one of them you know already and don't need me to tell you, but if you are having sex with a person that you're not married to, you have gone too far in one direction.
Right.
You know, it's not me judging on you. That's just, you know, that's too far. And the Bible is clear about that. Baby making is right out. But on the other side, if you are keeping yourself from vital relationships in life as a way to protect your heart or your purity or your, I don't even know what, as the French say, je ne sais what.
Is that what the French say?
That's just for you, my Cajun brother.
But if you are
basically leading a monastic life from an emotional standpoint in an effort to safeguard something inside of you, that's too far in the other direction. Right. You know, you're called by God to love people, and even non-romantic relationships, even platonic relationships, involve the risk of getting your heart broken. If that's the only thing that's keeping us from, you know, casual dating, then we've gone too far in that direction. So I think that's where I would start us off by saying left and right limits are baby making is right out, but so is a monastic life where you avoid other people to keep from getting hurt.
Yeah,
absolutely. Lee, can you jump in there?
Well, one thing that's really interesting is my wife and I have this kind of, we have this ongoing conversation. We run into Christian guys sometimes who just are flat out rude to her. And they're rude to her because their thing is, I'm an unmarried Christian guy, so I'm going to be rude to every woman in the world because I don't want any of them to think I'm hitting on them. And I don't know, I don't know if you guys have run into these people, but it's like, whoa, dude, you know, my wife's thinking, I'm married. Like, I'm not interested in you in any way. Like, not at all. You know, I mean, if I want to start a pleasant conversation with you, it's not because I want to go on a date with you or want to have anything. Right. It's not a romance. I'm just trying to be friendly, you know? And I think that's one way that, like Jed said, we're going too far to the left or the right, you know? And I think, you know, whenever Christians talk about you should never date anyone unless you're sure that you can see yourself marrying them. And it's like, here's the thing. Christians need to stop legislating all the time.
Just hello. Like,
you know, making up
that's
rules.
That's an enthusiastic agreement, in case you're wondering.
You know, it is, as Christians, it's not our job to make up rules for everybody. What we're supposed to do is submit ourselves to the Lord. The Bible has clear clear standards, clear things that we're supposed to do in submitting ourselves to the Lord. But aside from that, like Jed's saying, things that it doesn't specifically talk about, just submit your heart to the Lord. And guess what? The Spirit of God leads you in what He wants you to do. I mean, you know, it's interesting because I dated a ton of people before I got married, but I did it for all the wrong reasons. It was, you know, I wanted to be wanted. I wanted to be liked. I wanted everybody to think I was awesome. I wanted to have, you know, I wanted to mess around with girls. I mean, it was all we thought about was, you know, sex and, you know, what can we get? They were all terrible relationships. On the other hand, my wife never dated anybody except me, but it wasn't because she was saying, I'm going to keep myself pure. It just really didn't happen. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, she was at a boarding school and, you know, they kept the, you know, they legislated all over everybody all the time, but you know, it was just kind of a different set of circumstances. And I dated a bunch of people for the wrong reasons and she didn't really date anybody, but it wasn't for other reasons. It's just what happened. And neither one of those things, it's like, you can't say what I did was good and then what she did wasn't. It's just, everybody's kind of an individual. Some people are not going to want to date a ton of people because they are just going to want to connect with that one person. Other people need to try out relationships. They need to keep those firm boundaries and figure out what it means to kind of be in a relationship. But the main thing is, hey, Christians, stop legislating all over everybody. Stop making up rules. That's not our job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, Glenn.
Yeah, here's the thing is, apparently, I agree totally with what Lee was saying there. He's all over what I wanted to say about it for sure. That's right on the money. I did a post a little while back about with dating having goals instead of rules. I think that's a big thing. What is your goal? What is it you're trying to achieve here? If you have good goals, that's going to inform your choices moving forward. You know, trying to come up with an arbitrary rule just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to be able to extrapolate how to act in different situations. It just doesn't. You don't get where you're going. But here's the thing I want to know, and maybe you guys can help me out with this. What the heck is supposed to go wrong if you date someone and then break up, and then what is gonna, some of these people talk about dating like it's and I did a post about this recently, like it's the action hero that's defusing the bomb, you know. don't date this person. If you cut that wire, it'll go, you know, it'll blow up in your face. I mean, it's this idea of this weird idea of if you date someone the wrong way with the wrong intentions in the wrong situation, you will ruin things forever. Dude, you know.
That's how life works. You know, Glenn, that reminds me of my favorite verse from the Bible where Jesus said, you know, there's no sin that can't be forgiven except dating the wrong person.
Yeah, you know. It's almost like that. You know, it's just that weird sense of this is, if we get this wrong, we're going to get in sort of into some bad place we can't come back from. And I love the way he words it. Should Christians date for the possibility of getting married or just date for fun? As if fun might not be a valid reason for doing anything.
Or if fun and getting married are polar opposites and you can only have one.
Well, now that's actually a different podcast, but let's skip over that. But yeah, you know, it's this idea of if you're having fun while you're doing it, you know, you're probably something.
There's probably secret sin involved that even you aren't aware of, but you should feel guilty about.
Yeah, you know, I for sure, I think it's a bad idea to say, I'm just going to date this person and I don't want to see it go anywhere, and I have some physical desire, and I'm just trying to get that, you know, hooked up or something. Yeah, that's bad, and you know that's bad. You don't have to hear us tell you that. But I think dating someone who you don't know whether or not you could see yourself marrying them because you don't know because you haven't dated them, you know, the idea of being open to that, the idea of getting to know somebody new that might not normally consider someone that you could be in a serious relationship with, I think that's a great idea and a great chance to get to know different kinds of people, to explore different kinds of relationships and what would this be like. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, Jed, do you have no thought on this?
Yeah, man, I think, you know, just to round it out, I think there's two things we need to be clear on. And one is stuff that is certain, and one is stuff that isn't. So here's what's certain. If you date no one, if your spouse is the first person you ever go out with, and you save yourselves for marriage, and you don't cross any boundaries, you will still be impure.
Yes.
You yeah. will. The Bible says, surely I was birthed in iniquity. Yeah, surely right. I was sinful from the moment my mother conceived me. You are impure. You are. You, person listening to this right now today, you are impure. Not because of the porn you've looked at, not because of the people you've slept with, but because you're a sinner. Because right. you have a sinful heart that by nature is at war with God. That's the cause of your impurity, is right. your heart. It's the same thing for me.
You're a big sinner.
I am an enormous sinner. Person listening, I am a bigger sinner than you, just so you know. But the thing is, I say that not as an accusation, but I say it so we can all relax.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's people that have this high score mentality of, if I check all the boxes, if I get it all right, then I'll be extra strength saved, I'll be extra strength pure, and I'll have an extra holy marriage. It doesn't right. work that way. It does not work that way. No matter what's happened, you and your spouse will enter marriage as two sinners saved by grace who will need the strength and power of God's Holy Spirit every day to love each other the way that you have promised to at that altar. That's the only way that marriage works. But now, that's what's certain. What isn't certain is, it is not guaranteed that if you date someone, you will fall into temptation and sleep with them.
Right.
Because there's this crazy thing called self-control. Yes. Ladies, if a guy says, we should, hook a little something up, you can say no.
Right.
Fellas, if you feel an urge that you want to hook something up, you can say no.
Right.
As yeah. Glenn once said, none of us are walking glands. You do have a choice in the decisions that you make.
That doesn't even sound like me at all. So I don't even know where these accusations are coming from.
It doesn't have to be that way, man. It doesn't have to be this thing where dating is co-equal with falling into sin.
Right.
That's a false choice right. that somebody's putting on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the one thing I would add on to that is, another thing that isn't true is, not every relationship that doesn't end in a marriage is a horrific failure.
Absolutely.
If you weren't supposed to marry that right. person, then not marrying them is the right call.
Right.
You can still have fun. You can still have learned something. And I think it's interesting that the terminology he uses of casual dating, which certainly gets vilified in the church, and to a certain extent for the right idea. There's a certain type of casual mentality that devalues people and tells right. particularly young ladies that they're not allowed to have emotions about certain activities, and that's right. totally wrong. But the idea that a first date with a person, we are now contracted to be married.
Yes.
So any choice I make will be violating that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the way it is.
The goat exchange is sacred, Matthew.
Sacred Goat Exchange is an awesome grocery store here in Chicago, and I think you should all check it out.
That's true.
But that idea of, you know, once I'm in, I'm all the way in, and I can't ever do anything wrong. Or, you know, there's going to be some weird kind of scarlet letter for the fact that you dated someone. Like you say, you know, I don't want to date someone that I can't see the possibility of marrying. How do you know if you've never been right. around them?
Right. Yeah.
How are you making the judgments on these people? Yeah. You might meet a gal and think she's nice, and, you know, you finally go by her house, and it's all My Little Pony, and
yeah.
she's 18, and she's not a bad person. I'm not going to do My Little Pony for the rest of my life. We're now out. No harm done.
Right.
On to the next one.
Yeah.
It can be done. All right, we're going to switch gears here. So our next question comes also from the Tumblr, from UNB Writing 315. And hey, Tumblr people who send in questions, if you want to phonetically tell me how to say your Tumblr name, that'd be great, because I'm decoding license plates on the highway here. Lately, I've been feeling slightly discouraged about being a young Christian girl in the 21st century. Glenn can relate.
Absolutely.
I know I want to represent Jesus in my life, but every day it seems like it would be so much easier just to follow society. I was just wondering how I should encourage myself to live for Christ in today's world, and how to be a cool Christian.
I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Well, Jed may have just torpedoed all his tween credibility right there. Guy going back 7 years for a Britney wrong. Spears joke.
I stand by the decision. It was worth it.
As long as you think so, buddy. Lee, can you start us off on this one?
Well, I will say, I'm not a cool Christian. I can't really handle that part of it. I've never been cool. In seventh grade, I had a paper out, and all I did with the money was buy 3 different titles of Spider-Man comics, I've never known how to be cool, so I can't speak to that. But when you say, it seems like it would just be so much easier to follow society. And I think the thing that I would say is, it's really not, because, and here's the reason why, because this society, it's all based on like kind of who wins, yeah. If you do this and if you achieve this, then you're the winner. If you're the prettiest or if you're the thinnest or if you are the most successful or if you have the most money or if you have the most friends or if you have the most Twitter followers or if you have the most whatever, then you're cool. Then you win. Then, but you have to keep the standard and you have to achieve these things. And that's the way society works, is who gets the most, who is the best, who is the coolest. And the thing that's so awesome about following Jesus is you throw all that stuff out of the window and you get to be, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is made up of like little bitty kids, and little kids who are just like helpless. They can't do anything. They just have their hands up in the air saying, "Help me," just kind of crying and saying, "I'm completely needy. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make any decisions. I just need like help all the time." And really that's kind of the gospel, is I'm completely needy. Jesus loves when I'm needy because he loves to come in and help me and do things I can't accomplish for myself. I mean, following Jesus is the coolest thing in the world, because he literally says, "Cast your cares on me because I care about you." It's so much better than anything in society. And the thing is, the closer you look at it, the more you see that it falls apart. That, that the way that the society works, it doesn't work that way for long. And even the people that look like they've got it all together, all you have to do is just read a couple interviews or read a couple of song lyrics by some famous rich somebody, and you'll see them talking about how they can't sleep, how they don't have any peace, how they don't know how to hold themselves together, how there's something missing. I mean, these are just song lyrics from people that are wealthy and successful and everything. I mean, just to put it plainly, society sucks. And the people at the top of it, they don't have anything figured out. But then you find somebody that seems like they're at the bottom of life and they know Jesus, and they're filled with peace. And they're filled with joy. And every single day they're getting stronger and stronger, even as their body decays and their wealth runs out. I mean, walking with Jesus, it's just so much better than the society. I don't know how these other brothers are going to take this thing, but I know for me, I would just encourage you, if you want to get some courage in this, really take a look at the people that are really winning in society, and take a look at the fact that they don't have anything figured out.
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, you sit before me in a Star Wars t-shirt with Japanese writing on it. You clearly know a thing or two about being cool. Could you help our friend here out?
Yeah. All right, let it out, Glenn.
Dude.
Let it out.
If there is anyone utterly lacking in cool in this room, it's Jed Brewer.
Hey. loud and proud, baby. Loud and proud.
Well, dude, let me just say I'm going to say 3 words to you.
Say it.
Welcome to Uncle Glenn's Fashion Corner.
And Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons, baby, in the building. Not only was I an avid D&D player, I was the dungeon master, people.
Thank you. Jed just sucked all the cool out of the room just by saying that.
Well, look.
Well, will say this. Can I jump in for a second and say the last time Jed and Glenn were in Tennessee, and we brought these guys over to a friend's house to hang out and play this game that we were all into.
Yes.
And it was really dorky. It was called Settlers of Catan, which when I say dorky, what I mean, the translation is awesome. And not only did Glenn make fun of us for the whole night, but then he had the audacity to win the game.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I think here's the thing about being cool. Is that cool is a great big lie. It's not anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. And the thing is, in the world's eyes, I am not cool.
I'm not. I mean, I am sitting here in a Japanese Star Wars t-shirt. Do think Dungeons and Dragons is cool. I watch a lot of movies, and I'll tell you right now, I'm on a kick. Here's the guy I'm watching all of his movies, Vin Diesel.
Lord.
I'm serious. I dig Vin Diesel's movies.
We're sitting in a room with someone who unashamedly listens to Taylor Swift.
Totally.
Who else is your little...
Well, I'm listening to Katy Perry right now.
Oh,
okay, I have to step in here because I don't know if any of you guys know that. You guys probably know that Jed's a songwriter. He's got some stuff on iTunes. And if you click on the album, Jed Brewer, God Quit, get it on iTunes, it has a users also bought,
yeah.
Which at the moment last we checked it was David Archuleta, who is the young Mormon gentleman from American
wow.
Idol,
yeah.
And wait for it. Miley Cyrus.
That's right, people.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, dude, here's the thing about cool. It's a great big lie, doesn't mean anything. But more importantly, it can't make you happy. Mm-hmm. And this is what Lee's talking about with those, you know, those famous people is you get to be cool and everybody thinks you're amazing and you're still miserable. Cool cannot make you happy. Not the world's idea of cool anyway. You know, what matters is finding something that satisfies you, that truly satisfies you, and going with that. I'll tell you just a real quick story. So Lee was busting himself out on reading comic books, and I was a huge comic book fan when I was younger. And not only that, I make comic books today. That's right. That's a part of my job, right. as I make comic books for guys that are locked up. And my wife's helping me because part of the way that we do that is we take photographs of action figures, like G.I. Joe figures and whatnot. So because it just makes the process go faster. And a few weeks ago, we're over at my apartment. We are literally dressing up Ken dolls to take these, yeah, to take these pictures. There's nothing lamer in the universe than two grown people in their apartment dressing up Ken dolls and taking pictures of them. But it's awesome. I mean, we're busting up laughing the whole time. We're having a great time. And we're doing it as a part of something that matters, of helping people come to know Jesus and know more about the Bible. And we're having fun. We're having fun, and God's honored, and people are coming to know the Lord. Dude, yeah, there's a lot of people that could peek in my apartment at that moment and say, that's so uncool. That's the most uncool thing in the world. Who cares?
Right.
I'm having fun. My wife's having fun. The Lord's...
Your wife is super out of your league, so that's cool in and of itself.
Yeah, I'd actually like to point that out because I think that's one of the things that gets people obsessed with cool is, will I ever get a good girl or a good guy? Ladies and gentlemen, my wife is unbelievably out of my league.
Yes.
I mean, massively.
Yeah, we would all say that for all of us. We have all outkicked our coverage in every way.
Absolutely.
Except for Matt, who is still single. And for those of y'all who are interested in dating Matt, feel free to write in.
Why were Gregorian monks behind the personal ad this time?
Write in to say that headquarters and just in the subject line said, hook it up, Matt.
Yeah.
And just we'll know what that means, and we'll send Matt right off to you. So send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll put Matt in there and send him back. Anyway,
I really have to look at that employment contract again. Go ahead, Jed.
But look, here's my bottom line. I'm going to throw it over to Glenn. Is the world's idea of cool can't make you happy. Even if you got it, you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't be happy. And the antidote is not to pretend like you don't care. The antidote is to find something that actually satisfies you. To find that place in your life where you're digging it, God's smiling on it, you've got good fellowship, and it's letting people come to know Jesus better. If you can find that, I guarantee you won't care who thinks it's cool or not.
Yeah,
for sure, Glenn.
Yeah, here's the thing, along the lines of what Jed's saying there, there's sort of chasing what the world thinks is cool, which is just sad. I mean, you know, the what does the world think is cool? You know, ironic mustaches, that's cool, man. You know, I'm going to put on this hat is cool, this knit beanie hat, It's just sad, you know. If you're chasing that, then you're sort of extra strength sad, you know.
Perfume ad by Dolce and Gabbana. All of these people are very sad, but have high cheekbones. Perfume ad.
I mean, just,
available at Macy's now and other fine retailers.
You know, most people in the world that are trying to be cool are just feeling overwhelmed with, this is just sad. I'm sad. This is sad. We're all desperate. So don't chase that for whatever you do.
No.
But here's the thing. This person's talking about being a cool Christian. Here's a question I want to know is, do you want to be cool in the eyes of other Christians? Because, man, is that a bad idea?
Yeah, yeah.
Because first of all, Jesus was not the least bit cool in the eyes of any religious leader, any religious whatever. I mean, that was... they didn't dig his flavor at all. So, yeah. You know, this idea of I want to, and I think there's a lot of that in the churches. I want Christians to think I'm cool that way. Then I'll be accepted, which is also not a, you know, if people envy you, they don't love you. That there isn't room for both of those in most people's hearts. It doesn't work that way. But we want to get to that place where everyone in church wants to be me, wants to think I'm cool, all that. It's a terrible, terrible place to try and get into. And you end up doing a lot of weird and dumb and goofy things to get to that place, which is make things worse. And just don't do that. That's a terrible, terrible idea. And the people in church, if they love you and if they're walking with the Lord and they see you pursuing your walk with the Lord, they'll think you're cool just because of who you are. Yeah. They'll just love you as a fellow believer. So you don't have to worry about being cool to them. But if you want to be seen as cool by the world, there is a way to do that within Christianity. And I know, or at least one, and I know that one way because I'm doing it. You know, the weird and sort of odd thing is that non-believers think what I do for a living is cooler than what a lot of believers do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, for those of y'all who might be new to the podcast, all three of us here in Chicago, Matt and Jed and I do a prison ministry with some street follow-up, but Lee also does prison ministry there and does a church ministry as well. So we all work behind bars here and there and work with people who, you know, you see them on the evening news and that kind of thing. And it's the weirdest thing to me, but when I tell people who are not believers. I had a buddy contact me on Facebook, and this guy was the most notoriously bad boy in the school, the most whatever. And he contacted me, wanted to know what I do for a living. I thought, how do I tell the most notorious, scandalous, party animal guy from my school who was not Christian then and isn't now, how do I tell him what I do for a living when the last time he saw me, I was doing the same thing with him?
Yeah, yeah.
I told him, I have a nonprofit organization that I run, and we work with guys coming out of jail and off the streets and help plug them into the local church. That's what I do for a living. And this guy thought this was the coolest thing he'd ever heard in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So you don't have to chase what the world's idea is cool. You don't have to worry about being cool in the eyes of other Christians. If you pursue that calling that God has for you, believe me, the world will think that's cool.
And that's exactly what Jesus experienced.
Yeah.
The religious people did not dig his flavor, but man, the secular people thought he was amazing.
Yeah, Pontius Pilate said, I don't have any problems with this guy. You guys are all trying to get me to kill him. I think he's all right, dude.
Totally.
I don't have any problems here. And that's, you know, and you ask a non-believer, what do you think of Martin Luther King? What do you think of Mother Teresa?
Amazing.
They'll say these are great world figures that we admire and whatever. So it's the same thing. If you want to be perceived as cool by the world, pursue that calling to the fullest. Be full on about that Jesus thing.
Yeah, and one thing I would say to the end of that is there's kind of the penultimate definition of cool to me, or pinnacle definition, is people who don't care what anyone else thinks. If you look at any kind of, you know, movie, Jed is displaying a Star Wars shirt proudly. But there's that idea of, you know, and you, like Lynn's saying, there's a way to do that. Loving Jesus helps you do that.
Yeah.
When you walk into a room and you're just your goofy self, but you don't care what anybody else thinks because Jesus is on what you're on, you're going to come off as cool. You know, there was a time when Elvis Presley was the coolest person who had ever lived. He died a fat, sad old man on the toilet. Okay. Yeah. Cool is temporary.
That got dark in a hurry. Go ahead.
You really went there, King.
Cool is the worldly cool is temporary, and like these guys are saying, it's a moving target. If you dress today the coolest the same way cool people dressed 3 years ago,
you're so uncool.
You would be the saddest person on the planet. But if you just dress the way you do, we all know that guy. He used to be my pastor and is now Lee's boss, who wears a sweater vest. He dresses the exact same way he has since 1984, but he doesn't care.
Because the only reason he is dressed
is he got up and dressed because he's got to tell people about Jesus to set them free.
Yeah.
And that's all he cares about. And everybody loves him because he's the coolest guy I ever knew.
He's almost as cool as the Dungeon Master.
Baby, love the Dungeon Master.
Good Lord, that's so wrong.
Oh, if there's... people, listeners, if there's not a hip-hop Dungeons & Dragons mashup video on YouTube already, there needs to be very soon. Somebody do that for Jed. All right, we're going to go one last question here. This is from Glenn's blog, which is very popular.
It is extremely popular, Matt.
It says, "Hi, Uncle Glenn. UncleGlenn.tumblr.com is the home of that very popular blog. My husband is in college at the moment. He is still a new Christian, and I'm not a very good one, but I want to be better. But every time I try and encourage him to become a better Christian, he says I'm forcing him. He told me that he is stressed enough as it is studying and doesn't need to be trying to spend time with God to add to things to his list to do. This was so frustrating to hear because it should be his main thing in life. I don't know what to do. I'm not strong enough in my journey to help him along. Glenn, can you kick us off here?"
Absolutely. Here's the thing. When we're talking about trying to have a married couple and try and kind of get in sync and move forward in their walk with the Lord, you're going to have times when you're a little bit out of sync. And that's okay. That's, you know, the people get busy, they get caught up in things or whatever. The point I think I'd like to hear these other brothers explore is the idea that spending time with the Lord should be a relief from all the pressure and stress. I think that's what we're shooting for. That's the point we want to land on. But I think this starts off with a problem I see a ton of on my blog, which is really, 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 really popular. And much more so, I think, than y'all's are. I'm not really sure, but I think it's way more popular than y'all's.
Fairly considerably.
Yeah.
Anyway, I couldn't even get that out with a straight face. Anyway, here's the thing is that...
Glenn just choked on his own popularity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I see this a lot on my blog, is this idea of... I see someone not quite where they should be and not at peace, and I see someone struggling, and I want to help them spiritually, and if that doesn't happen in the next hour, I'm going to explode. And there's this sort of this weird panic, and I think we've all probably felt that at one time or another. There's just this weird sense of this needs to happen really soon, because something mysteriously awful can happen. I mean, it goes back to the same question of what the heck's going to happen with his dating. I think sometimes we need to sit down and get the fear, and take that fear and set that aside, and then take a fresh look at this and say, what really are the possibilities of this going wrong? Is it an emergency? Is this a crisis? Do we need to be in crisis mode here? Do we need to harass this guy if he's saying, I'm overloaded, I'm overwhelmed, you know, that might say something about the way that we're approaching him with sort of an overcooked urgency, with a little bit of a, you know, things are overly kind of hyped up and the stress. And I don't know about you, but, well, I'm married, and if any of y'all out there are married, you may be able to relate to, there are times when your beloved comes to you in a highly agitated state and wants you to drop everything and pay attention to that right now. And sometimes that's not a pleasant thing. You know, that's not, you know, that feels more like work than a pleasurable thing. You know, about 50 times a day, my wife says, if you don't put this sticker on your car, you're going to get a ticket. And if you don't, and you have to brush your teeth, and you're going to get diabetes. And, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm trying my very best to tune all of that out. So
you do know Jane's going to listen to this,
I
right?
know. I'm going to pay so dearly for this later. I'm a bad person. I didn't never claim to be anything
Keep
else.
Keep on digging that ditch.
But here's the thing is, I think the goal is in a married couple situation, I don't and you don't you know, all of us don't want to come in on that note of you gotta right now. Because it just, you know, people are going to just naturally tend to kind of pull back a little bit and be a little defensive.
Yeah, for sure. Jed, you want to jump in there?
Well, yeah, man. I think two things jump out at me. two things jump out at me on the tip of, you know, it should be a relief, you know, and it should be, you know, a respite. The first is to say, and I see this a lot, particularly with young Christians, is they hear people talk about, I'm having my quiet time, and they approach that in kind of a weird legalistic way. where it's got to be a certain way, and it doesn't. I knew somebody who was not a morning person at all. This was years ago. It was not a morning person at all. But they decided they were going to get up. I think they signed up for some sort of, you know, I don't know, some obscure Bible character challenge, you know, the Zechariah challenge or something. But they were going to get up every day at 5 a.m. and have their devotions and then go on with their day. And this was going to really jumpstart their spiritual life. And this is not a morning person. This is a person that's normally up till about 1 in the morning, you know, and would easily sleep till 10 if you let them and whatnot. And it will shock all of you to hear that they were miserable. I mean, they made it about 3 days into that, and the sanctification had just vanished. I mean, it had just gone away. Well, but by contrast, I know people who are morning people, and I got a buddy who's a missionary overseas right now, and he gets up about 4:30 in the morning. Just that's what works for him. He's got a wife and kids, and none of them are up yet, and he gets up and just, you know, does a little exercise, has his time with the Lord, and he loves it. It's perfect for him. But the thing is, one of those is not better than the other. You know, being alone with the Lord at midnight and being alone with the Lord at 5 a.m., one is not better than the other. One is not superior. What matters is which one works for you, which one, you know, allows you to connect with the Lord and lets that time be a respite and be a relief. And as far as the marriage aspect goes, I can tell you what my wife and I work on a lot is helping each other develop strategies. In other words, the thing is, your husband knows he's supposed to be spending time with God. He's aware of that. I imagine you've told him enough that he's really, really aware of it. I'm just taking a wild guess here. But what it sounds like you don't have is a strategy for how to make that work. You know, a strategy for how to make that something. And that involves both of you. So in other words, you want him to spend time with God, but let me just kind of through the miracle of the internet ask a question back to you. Are you giving him space in his life to do that?
Right. Or yeah, like clearing out parts of his schedule by helping him with
exactly
something.
Right. Exactly right. You know, you say, you know, babe, you got to go have time with God. Now, I'm not going to do anything to help with that. Right. I'm not going to do some, you know, go take care of some chores or something so that you've got 20 minutes free to just, you know, have downtime. I'm not going to let you do that, but I am going to insist that it has to happen. The goal in marriage is for the two of you to work together as a team to develop a strategy that lets you figure out how to overcome that obstacle. And I'll give you one more quick point, and I'm going to throw it over to Lee, is if your husband is massively overworked, and I know I was in college, if your husband's massively overworked, slamming on the brakes is uncomfortable. Going from 100 miles an hour to zero does not work well. It may, on a strategic tip, be a way better idea to say your quiet time should be while you're driving to Walmart to pick up groceries. Your quiet time should be when you go out for a run. Your quiet time should be, you know, taking a walk in the woods. But again, you know, this model, this image that young Christians particularly get in their heads of, it's 5 a.m., you're all alone, you know, on your knees, hands folded, eyes closed. Dude, if you're working 16 hours a day, that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. So I think it's making peace with the uniqueness of your husband, the uniqueness of your marriage, and finding a solution together as a strategy, as a team that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, you want to close us out on this one?
Well, I guess real quick, I think the thing that I would say to this is that, and this is just kind of a general thing, but nobody ever nagged anybody else into loving Jesus more.
Yep.
That's never happened in the history of anything, and it doesn't work with... Yes.
Hey, Lee, have you considered that maybe you should love Jesus more?
Well, I've thought about it, but the very fact that you just nagged me about it makes me want to do it less.
You know, Jed, I just feel like by the way that you said that you weren't very sensitive and that I feel like I'm judging you right now. And I want to judge you into doing better.
Oh my gosh, I feel so bad now. I feel so bad that all I can do is say, Matt, I don't feel like you're loving Jesus quite to your full potential.
I feel like Matt hasn't had enough to say about this. It's like he agrees with it because he's not saying anything about it.
Yeah, Matt, are you looking down on Lee?
Because
I kind of feel like you are.
I mean, it feels like you don't even care.
And that's exactly what we call the circle of guilt.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead, Lee.
It just doesn't work, you know, just to nag somebody. That's not how you pastor people. It's not how ministry works. And it's not how a husband and wife relationship works either. You can't nag your husband into loving Jesus more. This is something that the way a relationship with Jesus works and the way Jesus wants it to work is that he wants to woo people to himself. He wants to draw them to himself. He wants to win their hearts all on his own. And the main thing that a lot of times that you have to do is get out of people's way so that he can do that. And the thing that I would say is, number one, just pray for your man. Pray for him that Jesus would draw him in, and that all on his own, that he would feel more connected to the Lord. And then number two, I would say, just serve him. Figure out, like, at the end of the day, when he, you know, like, does he need like a foot rub? Does he just need like somebody to, you know, does he need somebody to help him? You know, does he need some help organizing his papers or something like that? Just what could you do to serve him? I know with my wife, I mean, one of the sweetest things that she does for me, just to help me in my own walk, is she takes care of me. You know, she takes care of me, I take care of her, totally. And we try really hard not to nag each other and try to always solve each other's problems by bringing in our opinions and stuff like that. Now, sometimes you have to talk about stuff. I'm not saying you can't talk about stuff, but nobody ever nagged anybody else into a closer walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, you have one more quick thing on this?
Yeah, real quick. I think it probably in this case, and in most cases like this, you suspect that's, you know, you suspect you're kind of going down a unproductive avenue here, and you're reaching a point of diminishing returns. You're pushing it harder, but you're getting less results, and you do get a panic behind that. We all understand that. We've all been there. We get into that mindset. But the real quick little tool I want to leave you with is the idea of the what it's old saying we use in ministry a lot. Focus on the get tos, not the have tos.
Yeah.
Don't say, here's what you have to do, here's what you have to do. People just automatically get defensive when you use have to. Figure out a way to express it as a get to. This is, you get to take a break from this work. You get to have some peace. When you get to that place, you're going to be a better student, and you know, so everything is positive by focusing on the get tos.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to send us a question into us on the Tumblr, you can hit us up at thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. You can send an email into saythatpodcast@gmail.com. Real quick, we want to thank some folks who left iTunes reviews. We'd like our friend Akami, our friend Amanda H.,
yay,
Alan Hamilton,
yay,
and Abby Lynn. And yay. I don't know if it's possible to tell someone's attractive from their iTunes review, but I enjoyed hers. So remember, that's Matt, hook it up to The Bridge Chicago.
Got steamy there.
Hey, girl. How you doing? I just
like
want to say,
you leave that review, girl.
Thank you.
You know what you're doing.
Well, I kind of asked for that, didn't I, folks? All right. We'll see you next time. Just remember, we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.